This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You'll never find, no matter where you search.
We are back, Old Hickory in St. Charles, side of the Maryville University Golf Classic. Martin Kilcoyne joins us now. Martin, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Frank, and I learned something today listening to you talk about your Friday whereabouts, Lionel Richie, because I went back. I recorded, of course, Channel 5's coverage of the parade, and every time Frank would go live, he'd say, folks, they're dancing on the ceiling. These folks were up all night long. This is truly a lot of Lionel Richie-isms in the parade coverage from Channel 5, and I know why.
I was all Lionel Richie'd out. I was kind of complaining on the way down, and then all of a sudden he gets on stage, and wow, it's pretty cool.
Did you guys spend the night in Springfield?
Yes. At the stylish,
the
well,
Crown
actually, it wasn't
Plaza?
Stylish.
No.
Yeah, we walked right across the street.
Okay.
It was the Wyndham. Yeah.
Okay, so. Not bad. And then up early to
yeah,
return.
Real early.
Real
yeah.
early, right?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not as early as this guy. Frank, I arrived with the parade at 4:30 a.m. to get a front row spot. Don't regret 1 minute of the day. Congratulations, Brian Garner. How about that?
What would you say the feedback has been, whether email or Twitter, that you've received people complaining? A handful? I've had a few
people
complaining.
I'd say it's about 80. It being like me, myself?
Yeah, that we've received. I've had a few people.
Did your guy complain? Did you get an email?
Ed did. Did you yes. get Ed's latest? He complained.
Ed Golderman.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even respond. He just said these carpetbaggers have bankrupted the city, and he said Stillman has them $500 million in debt. And I said, I'm going to need to see the paperwork.
Yeah.
How is Tom Stillman, who's owned the team for 7 years, he now has them $500 million in debt, the city? I'm going to need to know a little more. But a couple people complained and said, because the players got off the floats and rides, they couldn't see them, which I understand. But you just go and you take your chances. When you go to a parade like that, there's a decent chance you're not going to see much or experience much other than being a part of it and being part of the hoopla and the crowd. It's not perfect. It's never perfect. But think of all those parades. And the Cardinals, let's be honest, they are a little more of the
stuffy.
Khakis and loafers, drinking scotch.
Careful, we have Mr. Van Brusigan's son here.
And I love it. And I'm just saying, and the Cubs, when we're making those runs, we said Joe Madden is flip-flops and a keg of beer. Mosellox, the bottle, of, you know, the glass of scotch. It's just different vibe. And the Blues fan base and their franchise traditionally has been a little more hair down, party it up, high five. And it's also the hockey crowd. So it's not surprising that they were running around and handing the cup. But if you did experience it, it's the memory of a lifetime.
Absolutely. And the ones that felt that maybe we were delaying a little bit.
I saw the guy tweet that almost immediately. Thanks to Martin and Frank for making this the most boring parade ever. I'm like, first of all, I don't think it was the most boring parade ever. Let's go ahead and
look
back.
It was the greatest parade ever.
Yes. And if you talk to a guy, you probably talk to him for 40 seconds, 30
exactly.
seconds.
And the cars ahead of them were stopped. It's not like we were like right in front. I was going like this in front of a big Ford. Stop. I have to do an interview.
You weren't the crossing guard at the grade school holding up a little sign. They were all walking, and it was going plenty slow because the players were taking it all in.
And if you were at home, what's more interesting, watching on TV, cars just going by and people waving, or a chance to hear Brett Hall or Tom Stillman or Alex Pietrangelo for 30 seconds, you know? Let me tell you, the best one I got was I didn't like the fact that you were horse-collaring these players. Because a lot of times when you did the interview, the players had their arm around you or something like that. Yeah, I'm horse-collaring Colton Parayko.
Yes, because Pat Maroon can't fend himself when it comes to a guy like Frank. He probably would love to have wrestled himself away from a Cusimano grip. But, boy, the big rig just couldn't manage to do that. No, a lot of the complaints, and it was minimal. And I do understand.
90% was positive.
And I understand some of it was beyond PG, but it just sort of happens. It's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. It's never perfect, but, boy, it was. I would say it was close to perfect. And for those who complained, I understand. Maybe you did wait in line for a long time. But just it's not. It's kind of the way I liken it to is when you do high school coverage, and you could cover 20 high school football games, and then you get the complaint for somebody, well, my son scored 2 touchdowns and you didn't show him. So the city had tremendous joy and euphoria, but I didn't get to experience it. That's the thing that's hard for me.
My good friend, the Salty Pretzel. Frank, my only complaint is the applause you shrugged off as you went by our group. Let me tell you, it was kind of embarrassing because we were walking down the middle to get to where our first shot was, and people were yelling and stuff. And
you were high-fiving. I saw you.
Yeah, but I did not score a goal this season, so I just wanted to, like, sneak. And it was – so that was – I was kind of embarrassed. I tried to wave, but I think, wait a minute, if I'm waving, I think I'm in the parade. So it was, you know – I was uncomfortable.
I thought it was embarrassing because Frank was high-fiving, and he stopped and said, let's redo this, and say, 6-2 from this map. Bye-bye. Like he had him do a full introduction. I was getting a lot of 2020 yelled at me, which is the Kachuk.
Oh, very nice.
And so I finally stopped and went over, and I said, okay, what's your base of knowledge? He said, Big Walt, he kills you every time.
Very nice.
I told him it's now a thing.
Somebody texted in. I don't know if Brian can find it. But that they really admired the fact that Braden Schenn had to relieve himself, had to take a quick leak, and he went back, like, you know, got off. And
is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you think about it, a 2.5-hour walk while you consume 15 beers.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That's probably – they thought of everything. That's probably something they didn't think of. And how many times have you or me asked the Kelly Chases, Bernie Federkos of the world – hey, what? And probably sitting at a golf course in the middle of the summer, maybe at a blues charity event. Hey, what would that be like? Can you imagine? They've all had to answer that question a million times and say, well, it'll be the biggest parade. Bobby Plager has always said, it'll be the greatest parade the city's ever had. And we always been like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. Yeah, okay. And then I think it exceeded even what they thought.
Yeah. I just can't imagine those people, though, especially the 4:30. Let's just say the average person was there by 8:30 setting up, 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'd say 8:30. And then the thing ends at like, what did it end at, like 4?
4, yeah. It was close to 4 o'clock.
Yeah. I got off like after they passed and right when they got on the podium. And Monique and I got home and we were turning it on. We're listening to Jordan Binnington yell the F-word.
It went on forever. And so I was like you. Once they passed, I was clear. But my car was at the Ballpark Hilton. So to get to it, I couldn't get to my car. And then once I did, I couldn't get out of there. I literally went one block around Ballpark Village. I had the greatest view of, I guess it's the Shark Bar. I went one block in about 40 minutes. Literally just put it in park. There was nobody going anywhere. I've never been in that kind of traffic. But I just flipped on the radio and I listened to the whole thing, F-bombs included.
See, my contention is there are two kinds of people in this world. Those that go to parades and those who don't go to parades. And I would definitely be in the latter up until this moment. That was the greatest parade ever. Courtney
Absolutely.
D, I hate any type of parade in general, but that was great to watch on TV, and the interviews with the players was fun. Yeah, this was the first parade that, you know, was just jaw-dropping.
All right, let's do Five for Frank, and we'll just tee up a little music for this. Five for Frank, every day in the 11 o'clock hour. Frank, let's start with this. Number one, how about your crowd estimate? We've heard varying reports, and we've always made fun of the VP Fair when they would put these numbers out. And I know the Blues have said they were told 1.5 million. I got to say, that feels a little high. It'd be great if it were true. Feels a little high.
That's, you know, you probably got it from the same guy I did, the 1.5. And then here's the thing. There's 2.8 million in the area. 1.5, we're not down there.
It's a little high.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was over 5, but
I would
not
say
much.
In that 600,000-ish. Yeah. I mean, everywhere you went. And it's really hard to gauge because if you were at Tucker, you could have gone north or south a block or two, and it was wall to wall. And so that continued for blocks towards the arch. And people did sort of hunker down at the arch, and everybody else picked the parade. So you kind of roll it all into one. If you had to get, and there's no way to get it right, I'd still say it's in that 500,000-600,000 range.
Yeah, I wouldn't
which
go
is
over
massive.
Six. Yeah, because if you go back to the Post-Dispatch reporting of the Rams 99, they said it was over $100,000, over 100,000 people. Did we ever get a number?
Oh, is that right? See, now the Rams parade I missed because it was the day after the game.
I
was stuck in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, what about the – have we ever heard a number
on
for 2006, 2011? It just did not seem as big.
No, it wasn't near as big.
And even if it's a couple hundred thousand, that's a lot of people, but this was way, way more than that. And honestly, all types of people. I had somebody complaining I didn't see any African-Americans. I'm like, I'm sorry, I did. I walked all over the place. I saw all types of people, young, old, maybe some babies that I think were a little too young to be there.
Yeah, it was a little of that. Yeah.
There was young, old, white, black. There was, you know, some seemed a little more Hoosier than others. I mean, you saw it all, okay?
Everybody's invited.
And that was
so.
The beauty of it. I mean, you really yeah. did see a collection of folks. Some were probably diehard hockey, and some who just thought, I want to be part of an event. All right, number two, should the NHL awards or any award in a sport be voted on after the postseason, or is that unfair? For example, yeah. if they voted on Jack Adams now, and if they watch that great footage of Craig Berube before the Game 7 in Boston, is there any doubt, if they voted today, is there any doubt that Berube would be the Jack Adams winner?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But looking back now, do you think he'll get it based on body of work? I'm not so sure. And isn't that, it feels like a crime right now.
It seemed like Barry Trotz was given the award before the playoffs started. Because
yeah,
of,
but what would you rather have, a little bit of hardware
for sure.
or the Stanley
yeah.
Cup?
Oh, no, I don't think he cares that much. But it does seem, and I guess you don't want to penalize some people who did great work
right.
and their team didn't make it to the playoffs. It just feels wrong that he's not going to be the coach of the year.
I do like the fact that it's so quickly right after the regular season. They don't stretch
time.
It out like baseball for weeks and weeks. You know,
but the awards are Wednesday. The draft is Friday. If I'm Army, I'm like, oh, crap, we got a draft?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they don't have
course,
a pick, right?
They don't have a pick. In fact, here's an interesting story. There's a billionaire in Toronto who wanted to fly Layla up because he's been so moved by her to the NHL draft and have her make the Blues selection. And he knew Kay Quinn. So everything was in the works, and then all of a sudden we realized
they don't have a pick.
There is no pick.
Yeah, yes. Nobody cares about the second round. But the St. Louis Blues in the second round select.
How about Strick finally taking his lovely wife, Lori, and the family on a little vacation? They're going to the draft. And I said,
are you kidding?
It is Vancouver, which is a beautiful city. But I said, are you and Lori going to get away and do anything? He goes, yeah, we're going to go up to Vancouver. I said, oh, nice. He goes, well, it's the draft. I'm like, that's, honey, we're getting away for the weekend. We're going to the NHL draft.
I'm going to see how that 19-year-old from Ontario goes in the draft. Please.
All right. Number three for Frank. Biggest shock to you from parade rally. Just if you could grab one moment, what was the most surprising thing you saw or took in? And I'll go first. To me, it was Larry Robinson giving the middle finger to Boston.
That is great.
And I know Panger touched on it with you. And he's the most famous guy in that whole parade.
Yes.
I have a brother-in-law who's Canadian. And on Saturday night, he said, Larry Robinson is rolling down and nobody even, like, notices. Most decorated person in the city, really, in terms of hockey, is Larry Robinson. But they gave him, he goes, yeah, I got that 10th ring and that middle finger. So I guess this one's for Boston. That was hilarious. I mean, we haven't talked to him because we're not allowed to. I didn't know that was coming.
Yeah, we got him on the truck for about 45 seconds, and it was kind of cool. I mentioned, I go, you've had quite a few of these. He goes, yeah, this is my 10th. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
this is
amazing.
My 10th. And I mentioned this before, that plus-minus we always talk about in hockey. He has the highest plus-minus, not by a little bit, but by a whole lot in hockey history.
Phenomenal.
And
player.
As weird as this season was, remember, he was on the bench for a while. When
yeah.
they first fired Mike Yeo, they kind of mixed everything up, and then they threw him on the bench for a while, and then they changed it again.
I think he fixed Parayko, guys. He won't
That's
get enough
an interesting
credit.
Thought.
I heard, of all people, Scott Stevens, right before the Stanley Cup final started, was on NHL Network. He said he was in his last season in New Jersey when Larry Robinson came to that organization. He said, he taught me so much in my final year about playing that position. And I really think part of Parayko taking off was Larry Robinson teaching him stick position.
It's interesting. Okay, so you got one Hall of Fame defenseman helping out Parayko. Another Hall of Fame defenseman, Al MacInnis, really telling the story about what he did with Jordan Binnington when he arrived.
Yes.
And really took him aside and, you know, let him know what was at stake here and what he could do and how he could do it. So, you know, we make fun of Army having those two and you know, the goaltender on staff and Brett Hall. And well, that's actually some wise moves there.
Yep,
it's sort of funny how all is forgiven. You win the Stanley Cup. Like, there were times when we said, well, maybe Tarasenko's not going to get it done. He's not a two-way player. He's as beloved as anyone. Petro, I don't know. Is he the right guy to be the captain? And then and Ben Fred's column was sensational because it detailed. He basically walked the parade route with Petrangelo, and there were three moments where he either took somebody – who had spina bifida, somebody was in a wheelchair, and I think there was another man I believe was mentally challenged. I forget all the particulars, but he made sure those people came out under the parade route. And I'm like, now we look at Petro and like, God, not only is he classy, he's the perfect captain. And it was, a few months ago yeah. saying, well, I don't know, maybe O'Reilly should be the captain.
Right.
Then I saw Army hugging Brett Hull. I think Army got fired for Hull, or Hull got fired in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, something
like that happened years ago.
And I think Brett, there's a little bit that, you know, he hasn't been involved in the hockey operations, too.
As much as he would probably like to.
Yeah. My most attention-grabbing thing would probably be Ryan O'Reilly in the Amish hat. You know, that was and making sure that everybody touched the cup when he had it, and just, well, he was just sensational.
All right, the most inebriated person you saw, and not fans not included. I was trying to
Shen.
Okay, I was trying to rank him, and I said I think Vince Dunn was kind of.
Well, this is our top five. This is a great list.
Well, no, we're all among them.
I got to say, I think
happiest.
I think it was Vince Dunn. And we partnered up with Fox Midwest, and they had said ahead of time it's going to replay Sunday in Canada. So I thought, as an added element, when I talked to some of these guys, I would just say, what do you want to say to Canada? You're also on in Canada. And Vince Dunn just said, I don't know. And
I said, well, that's fine.
You know, you really. Yeah, Sammy Blay was right up there. The younger they were, like, as you would expect, Jay Bouwmeester, very reserved, very polite and cordial. Even Jaden Schwartz, not quite as zany or crazy as some of the other guys. Although I did see Schwartz. Somebody handed him an American flag. He was waving on top of his float, leading USA chants. I'm like, but you're from Saskatchewan. I mean, anything goes. But I think the younger they were, the more likely they were to be overserved, if I had to guess. All right, number five, let's talk Cardinals. Was the biggest mistake in the last 5 years not signing Scherzer? Now, I understand why they didn't. If you look at the rotation they had coming out of 14 and going into 15, you had Lackey, you had Waka, you had Carlos Martinez, Lance Lynn. You had Wainwright till they got injured early in 15. So they were sort of loaded in the starting pitching. But if you had to go back and undo it and say, we'll make room, it's Max Scherzer, we know his pedigree, he's from St. Louis, but beyond that, do you think that would have changed a ton if you had Max Scherzer from 15 on? I think you,
would have got to one of those playoffs.
Instead of somebody saying, well, where are you going to use him? Where are you going to put him? You'd say, we'll find a spot.
It's the old Dal Maxwell, where would we play Fred McGriff?
Yeah, where would we play him?
Yeah.
You'd find a spot. If all the things, maybe you would undo the Dexter deal. But I think if you look back there and you say, you know, this is a guy who can anchor the rotation with a Wainwright. We don't know if Lynn's here a long time. We hope Waka is. You don't know. It was a proven commodity. I'm not sure. But if you had to look back at some of the things that have gone wrong, and Derek's piece is interesting today, and John Mozella kind of talking about how they've made a lot of trades that don't look real good on paper right now. He said we might have to audit what we've done.
Well, yeah, because right now you're looking at a starting staff where Waka you won't have any confidence in. Miles Michaelis, you're wondering about that contract. Adam Wainwright, you're wondering about that health. Jack Flaherty, you're would like to see a little bit more right now. And the only guy you feel that's above expectations of the whole staff is, you know, the guy who pitched yesterday, Dakota Hudson. So, yeah, that's – and just imagine if you had Scherzer. And, Martin, I think there's going to be discussions today. There were last night on the plane home that Carlos Martinez is going to have to be considered for that rotation real soon. You know, I know he seems like he's perfect out of the bullpen. Well, you got a couple other guys like Brebbia and Gant and, of course, you know, the closer. You need a freaking starting pitcher, and it's not Alex Reyes.
You need a bell cow. And he would, Scherzer would be the anchor.
We're talking about all these serious items, and your question about who's the most inebriated, we've had 1,000 responses.
Well, I think there now people are going to vote for Brett. Now, I might have.
Barbashev was, Sanford was, Fabry was barely alive, Brett Hull, Edmondson and Schwartz, Tank, Bortuzzo was blank canned.
Yeah, I guess it's a Tony tied for first.
Yeah,
I think Joey Vitale might have been a little wound up when he was on the stage. He tried to get Chance going for Bruby, but he said, the chief. And nobody quite bought in because I don't think it works. I think it's just Chief.
Right.
He tried to sell it. Like Brett tried to sell his we went blues instead of let's go. He was trying to turn a phrase. And nobody really understood
a lot of what he was doing. So.
I got to say, Brett is just Brett.
He is.
And, like, if anybody was saying, oh, come on, you got to clean it up a bit, he more or less doubles down on it. And he's wearing the T-shirt with Ric Flair and the middle finger. And I think he's kind of like, you want to make fun of me? I don't care.
Yeah.
He really doesn't seem to care.
And I wonder if you got him on a lie detector right now and you said, which title, which Stanley Cup means the most? Dallas, where you scored the game winner. Detroit, where you were with all those Hall of Famers, or this one in St. Louis? Which one do you think he'd go with?
It might be here. And he didn't play. I mean, it really might be. I mean, you see his reaction and how he's so into this.
And I heard Larry Robinson. First of all, Larry Robinson on Twitter, okay?
That's weird.
But also, he's tweeting out about how this is an unbelievable hockey town. I did see a Berube clip. I think it was on Channel 4 late last night. And he said, listen. And by the way, the difference between Berube, he'll drop plenty of F-bombs when they're in the locker room, dressing room. But when you interview him, he's fine. He's not going to get on stage and use the foul mouth. Close the door, talking to the team. There is a great distinction that he's able to make. But he said, you know, I played a lot of hockey, and I live in Philly. And he said, there's no doubt in my mind this is the best hockey town. And I know they all are able to pander a little bit right now. But I look at Berube and the way he was answering, I think he really believes it based on what they saw this weekend.
He's a legend. Every guy who walked that parade is a legend now forever.
And we were talking Saturday night, my buddy Matt Offenberg. He said, you don't realize all these teams that have won the Cup. We kind of, like, when our team would lose, you kind of tune out.
Yeah.
And you live your life, and then you look up 2 months later, and somebody's winning the Cup, and they're having a parade. He said, now think about how long that was. Like, what it's like for these teams that repeat. Can you imagine? Like, the Penguins have done it. Isn't that insane to think what it would take to do that, just the amount of games played?
And not to get overconfident. The nucleus of the roster, as we mentioned, they're all in their primes or approaching their primes. You have a franchise goalie. Maybe you make a little free agent move here in this offseason, and all of a sudden a really good roster becomes even better, add a little bit more skill. Gosh, you and I may not have a free month of June for a while here.
I'll take that.
It's a good problem to have, but it is, if you think about it, it's amazing how teams repeat.
It's going to be really hard to do it with the style they play, though, guys. Your body is just
worn out. Better.
But, hey, other teams have done it, so we'll see.
All right, 5 for Frank each day in the 11 o'clock hour.
All right, I want to tell you about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, the Gatesworth. They have great food. They have great services. The answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. We appreciate them being the title sponsor. You know what the best sports line on Sports Talk Radio in the last week or so is? When Martin came into our Schnucks on Friday wearing Big Al's Pat Maroon's jersey.
Yes.
And believe me, this was not one of these game-worn, authentic ones. And Andy Strickland said, where did you get that? From Venture? I bring that up because Big Al just texted in.
And the rest of my day, I'm leaving our Schnucks location, and about 20 minutes later, my wife said, where are you? I said, I'm at O.B. Clark's. And she said, I didn't know you were going out. And I said, no, I'm meeting Big Al to give him his jersey. And she said, what does that mean? And I said, I'll explain it all later, okay?
All right, we'll take a break. We're coming right back.